Being a prepper means you're self-reliant. Not only do you think ahead, not only do you plan, but you put that plan to work. It becomes a lifestyle, and it doesn't have to be a major disaster like a flood or a blizzard, the kind of things we're seeing now, to kick this into motion. Sometimes major upsets happen due to real life, and that's what we're going to talk about this week. Hi everybody, I'm Bill Bateman, part of the team here at Refuse to Be a Victim Personal Protection Training. We're located in the Medford, White City area, and we hope to see you one day soon, either in one of our classes or out at the range. Okay, it has been an interesting month, to say the very least. I updated on the website a little bit of what's going on. I have been gone, obviously, for a full month. Let me give you a brief explanation, and please understand I'm not trying to go poor me. I'm trying to give an example of how things can happen. My wife and I purchased a new home. It closed near the end of February, and we gave notice at our former location, and we're getting ready to move. Well, this is exciting. We had this scheduled like a military maneuver. We had color codings on our boxes. We had packed weeks in advance. We had everything perfectly under control for a smooth and problem-free move. You can see what's coming, right? Yeah. Both my wife and I came down with full-blown COVID. I came down 2 days after her. We called the doctor, we called the movers and let them know what was going on. They elected to come anyway as long as everyone masked. Okay. So we were sick. We were very sick. I can tell you, just a brief side note, I have never been that sick in my life and I never want to feel that way again. I'm glad I got my shots. It's a good thing I did or I may not have been sitting here talking to you. Feel how you wish about it. That stuff is awful. We both have come back. I finally have my voice. I had no voice. I sounded like I was underwater. But it came time to move, and we were both sick. But wait, there's more. In addition to a serious illness, we had very bad weather. If you remember the first part of this month, we had snow, we had rain, it was very cold. And so that made moving just a laugh riot. On top of everything else, there is the actual act of moving, and I believe that moving is very, very similar to when you have to bug out in a disaster, in that all of your normal routines are broken, all of your normal touch points, like where's the coffee pot, where did we put the paper towels, just the basic little things of life are disrupted. Normal services that you might have, in my case, the internet, email, things like that. Nope, that was gone. You are in a totally different situation. Also, your roles within the family. First thing I do in the morning, I wander out to the kitchen, I hit the coffee pot and get the coffee running because I'm a coffee person. Couldn't do that. We didn't have a refrigerator. The stove was barely working where we were. We had all kinds of upsets and unusual situations. I'm making cowboy coffee over a fire, and it wasn't really very good, but at least it was coffee. Our roles had changed. Our touch points had changed. Okay, moving is very much like a disaster because if you have to evacuate, again, you're in an unfamiliar situation. You're with unfamiliar circumstances. You can't find things you may need. It causes stress. So that is a part of it. Then we found out that due to the bad weather, and of course COVID, the one excuse to rule them all, they were short-staffed and they wouldn't be there on this date. They'd be there 2 weeks later. But wait, there's more. We ended up also trying to get some medication because going to the doctor, they said, yeah, you should probably get some of this and some of that. It took me 4 days at my local pharmacy to get my prescription filled. 4 days. And this is with a plague-level pandemic-type illness. I'm not talking a little sinus medication. In other words, everything went off the rails. This could have been the Titanic, except there was no singing. So how did we pull this off? We indeed did pull it off. We used our emergency supplies to get us through because we have each week bought a little bit extra of non-perishables. So when something happens that you can't go to the store, there's stuff here. We had extra bottles of juice. We had extra bottles of fruit and things in jars that we could eat to supply liquid. We had frozen foods. And because we didn't have a refrigerator, one of the best things we, and I'll tell you, both my wife and I kind of looked at each other when I actually decided to buy it. I talked about this on a previous podcast, and I'll talk about it again because it's proved its weight in gold. We ended up purchasing an IceCo mini refrigerator. This thing is like a very, very big cooler, but it has an actual compressor like a refrigerator, and you can either set it to freeze or to be a refrigerator. There are little settings on it. It'll plug into the wall, and if there's no wall power, you can use a solar backup and a solar battery. We had power, so we were okay there, and we were able to keep things cold. We were able to not lose our frozen foods. Some of it was back at the old house, but that was not really convenient to run back and forth, especially in the condition we were. So we were able to keep things cold. We didn't have to go out and try and buy ice. We had things to keep things chilled. In other words, the idea is that by planning and putting that plan to work, when a life emergency, this had nothing to do with a flood. Yes, we had some bad weather, but we did not end up in a situation where the streets were closed or there were giant potholes due to water undercutting the pavement. But it's a situation where we couldn't go out. People couldn't get to us. It was just not working. So this is why being self-reliant means putting your plans to work. And that's one of the things I want to try and touch on the next couple of weeks. Now, next time, there have been big emergencies. You've been following the news. There have been the floods in California with just repeated major rain. I don't see that stopping anytime soon, and we will most likely, in my opinion, be seeing that again next year. We're seeing blizzards. We're seeing the southern area becoming a magnet for tornadoes. And that is very, very serious, especially, and I've seen this once in my life, and I never want to see it again, a nighttime tornado. That is absolutely chilling. So if you look at the little things life can throw at you, like getting sick in the middle of a major move, and then add to it major natural emergencies, floods, fires, the whole difficulty there, you're going to start finding that prepping is not an option. Prepping is something you need to do. This is something I cannot urge you strong enough to do. Go back. If you're new to this, if you're a new user, a new listener, welcome. Welcome to the family. I'm glad you're here. If you're a regular, please do your part and share this information with other people. People who are your friends. People may be part of your family. People may be at work. I have had actually people tell me, yeah, I take your podcast to work and I play in for my friends at lunch. Share this. This podcast is copyrighted. You can't sell it. You can't edit it. But you can share it for educational purposes with anyone you want. Take it to work. Get groups started. Also, don't be afraid to ask for help. I try and include resources every week. All of the things in the past 5 years, I've tried to include links. If you have questions, go directly to the websites. Feel free to write a letter to me. I'm not available to answer every letter individually, but I will try and include it as a topic on the podcast. There are many, many sources of information. Turning to other things, we do still have our regular concealed carry class. It's the second Saturday of every month. I got one coming up in April. Absolutely, you don't want to miss it if you don't have your license. Somebody actually came up to the window. I work at the White City Range, RVSSA, and they pulled up to the little shed you sign into, where you sign in, and said, hey, do you guys do anything but concealed carry? I almost fell off my stool. Yes, go to the website. We do many things beyond concealed carry. We have an introduction to firearms class for a new shooter if you have not even picked out a firearm. Absolutely, we have classes from the basic introduction all the way up to tactical home defense and personal protection. And these are by certified instructors with real life experience. So if you have questions about things just beyond the basic concealed carry, and you should actually take classes beyond concealed carry. We have a concealed carry mastery. You've got your concealed carry permit. Now what? Okay, there's a class specifically for that, being a effective and well-informed and lawful concealed carrier. There's shotgun classes. There are basic pistol classes. It's there for you. So that's available. Let's turn again to the state capitol and look at the insanity happening there. I've posted it on the website. If you're following off the Oregon Federation for Firearms, they've done a very good job of getting the information out. I am really, really concerned. I could do about a three-hour rant on this, but basically, we keep seeing individuals deciding they're going to use any method, unconstitutional laws, unconstitutional, illegal, devious methods to try and take firearms away from lawful firearms owners. And this is the part that I just cannot understand. People like me, I'm a concealed carry permit holder. I'm vetted, I'm certified, I'm trained. Why would you want to stop me from having the ability to defend myself? And beyond that, why would you want to label me a terrorist? The bigoted Jim Crow laws that they're trying to come up with now, I've said this 1,000 times, we need to, yes, write letters. We need to, yes, call. We need to find something else. And I'm thinking, since both political parties don't seem to be willing to stand up for the basic rights that are in the Constitution, we need to work with another party, another political party. That's a personal opinion. It does not reflect the views of anyone else here at the company, but I think it's time to make a full court press. There's 150,000 of us here in Oregon. If you approach a political party and say, hey, would you be interested in 150,000 new members and some support? I think that they're going to say yes. So by all means, do stay informed. Do stay up to date with what's going on in Salem, in the current battle, those trying to force feed us Prop 114 or various pieces of it a bite at a time. Stand up for yourselves. Reach out, send positive letters. I see too many people, yeah, I'm really going to tell them off. No, that doesn't help. That just makes you look angry. You are constituents. We are business owners. We are residents of Oregon. We are voters. And if they don't care about getting the votes, well, fine, let's go for a political party who does. Let's stand up ethically. Let's stand up fairly. And let's keep the noise coming. Send those letters, make those phone calls, talk to people, and as I say every week, and I'm going to keep saying it so it keeps happening, you be the adult in the conversation. We are informed. We have valid, life-based information. Share it with people in a positive way so you become a source for information, not a source of irritation. All right. That's it for this week. I am glad to be back. I'm glad I'm not sick anymore. Gah! I'm glad that our planning worked so well. It's nice to see a validation of what I've been talking about the past couple of years, that having supplies, having preparation, having that little bit of extra this and that really works out. And I'm going to add one more point. I'm going to add two more points, actually. One, I got to send a shout out to both Phil and to CJ for their help. Well, we had to be out helping us cover shifts and checking in on us. Thank you, brothers. That was very, very much appreciated and very much recognized. And the other thing was, we have talked in the past about homeopathic remedies. I mentioned how our pharmacy basically went off the rails. Okay, what do you do instead? Fortunately, we've had some segments on homeopathic remedies, pioneer remedies, whatever you want to call them. And I found myself again with a pan of steaming water and some eucalyptus oil and a towel over my head, trying to help release the congestion in my chest and the breathing getting better. And by golly, it helped. So that little piece, and we're going to go into that more in the coming year, looking at homeopathic, if you can't get it off the shelf, if your pharmacy is impacted, closed, floated away, whatever happened, what are you going to do? Well, in our case, we had homeopathic remedies, some teas, some inhalants, some things that helped us out. Those things I credit as much as I credit the things I got from the doctor. So preparation on a number of levels. This shows that the years that I've been doing this, that my wife and I have been working together, and those times we had conversations like, really, Bill? You really want to try that? A lot of it was stupid. We went out and bought a giant tent. That's a whole other story. But having the homeopathic information, having the extra stuff, making the plan active is what got us through. That's it for this week. Next week, we're going to look at the big picture, look at big emergencies, and look at ideas to put ourselves in a good place. Hope to see you at the range. If we don't see you at the range, be safe, and thank you for listening. This has been a Retired Guy Productions presentation.